Let me invite you to consider whom you're remembering today. There's a time during the I've got all this stuff messed up here, so I'm a little distracted when I shouldn't be. There's a time in the Eucharistic prayer for remembering the dead. So at that time, I'm going to ask you, if you'd like to remember anyone by name, to do that. And we'll just speak them out. So some of us could be here for 20 minutes naming people we know. Cow. All right, here we go. That's what I want. I was at Creighton for 13 years at St. John's Parish, and then that's where I grew up, and then a year at St. Louis U, even though I was part of the Creighton community. But during those 13 years, I probably went to 100 funerals or presided at a bunch of them, mostly classmates of mine from high school whose parents died during that time, a few of my classmates, a few of my their spouses, during my time as rector, 9 Jesuits we buried there. And it's really something. I've come to wonder, for us who live in the aftermath of such loss, what's the relationship between faith and grief? Death isn't the only loss that people suffer. There are many other examples, which I'm sure you all could think of, that would kind of shake up a person's life. I mean, but I think in this world that we live in, and especially at this time, there's some challenges. I'm just going to talk about this for a moment and then get into the part about faith. But grieving is a hard thing to do. For example, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, within 2 or 3 months after a person, after following the death of someone we know and love, it seems that other people stop wanting to bring up that person's name so as not to draw out any strong emotions from us that they would feel uncomfortable with, no matter what we would feel about that. So people might say, "How's it going?" but they don't really want to reply. Very few people are explicit in saying, "How are you doing after, for example, your father's death?" Or people say, "Well, at least you have, whatever." Or, "God must have wanted this person more," or, "She's in a better place." Or basically the question comes down to, "Haven't you moved on yet?" Very awkward things and mostly inappropriate, I think. But I'd like to look at some things about faith and grief to help us pray more authentically today. Often enough, I'm not sure if everybody finds this, but often enough, what I hear and see, what I've experienced, is that the death of a person we love is so powerful that it not only tests our faith, but it drives a wedge of doubt into our lives. So there's a double loss. Not only do we suffer the loss of the person who died, but also the loss of our what we had previously believed in God and found very comfortable. I mean, when I started experiencing grief, my first thought was, I've been a good person. Why do I have to go through this stuff? Why didn't God protect me from this? So there's kind of a double trauma involved often enough in people's, in the experience of grieving. I think what it does is test our former belief in God and in one sense show the weakness of our former belief. Do we really trust this God who allows us to suffer, can move to a point later on of saying, that's a bit of an illusion that God will keep us from suffering. As strong emotions surface, and I think the two big ones are sadness and anger, as they surface, really faith can just get swamped like a tsunami coming through. It can just wipe it out for a while. And what gets to be a trick is, what about expressing those same strong emotions to God? Maybe I'll say the wrong thing and get crushed even worse. You know, that kind of fear that I can't talk to God that way. And yet some of us have found the freedom of saying, you idiot, you ruined my life, to be very freeing. Because if we can be real before God, we can be real in ourselves. And we could realize that God accepts us at our worst, at our most painful place. The little thing I wanted to share about doubt is something my buddy Dan Schutte would always say. The opposite of doubt is, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is not doubt, it's certainty. So if you're certain about something, you don't need faith. Okay, that's enough of that. What I'm going to say about the way we pray authentically today, in remembering those who have died and remembering what it's like for us at this time, however that may be, however close that grief might be or however held at bay that grief might be, it comes down to that second reading. Are you not aware? Are you completely unaware that we who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death? And we see this at adult baptisms when we immerse the person. In baptism, we die with Christ, we're buried with Christ, and we rise with Christ. We see that in the sacrament as we do that with adults. And we're invited to come to see that as the fundamental reality of our Christian lives. That we are a people characterized by death and resurrection. That our faith is not simple assertions. Yeah, Jesus died, Jesus rose. Great. Good ideas get blown away. They get destroyed by tsunamis of experience and fear. But the experience of dying and rising is what is more solid and fundamental. It's who we are in Christ. We've died with Him and buried with Him, and we've risen with Him. That's why at the funeral, the white pall is placed on there as the baptismal garment. That's why it's sprinkled with holy water, not to say we're going to make holy the casket, but to remind us of our baptism, because we've died with Christ. And what it says is, even though this person is not standing up now, on the final day they will. But I just want to share this, that it seems to me more and more now, at this part of my life, that without that experience, without seeking and finding that experience of dying and rising in our daily lives, then our faith is like faith in the Cubs, that they'll win the pennant some year. Like, okay, so what? Dying so daily, dying to our fundamental narcissism. It's all about me. And rising to a life free from self-will is who we are. Dying to our need, our demand to have life go my way or the highway, and rising to a life free from self-worship is who we are. Dying to our illusions of grandeur and greatness and delusions of what we deserve, and rising to a life of humility that becomes a beloved way of life is who we are. Dying to a sense of religion that God says, oh, God will protect you in any instance, so don't worry about anything. That's false. And discovering that Christianity really says, no matter what happens, God is present, don't fear. No matter what happens. That's who we are. So in no way am I saying, this is another way of saying, in terms of grief, get over it. I'm so against that form of approach to grieving, to saying, well, get over it. But I'm saying the daily practice of seeking and finding, dying to self and rising to God, dying to self and rising to God, gives us not only the picture of who we are, but the experience of the resurrected Christ in our bones. Then it doesn't have to be somebody else's good idea. It's like this thing, there was an interview with Carl Jung, who was one of the great psychologists, and a BBC interview, and the young man asked him, Dr. Jung, do you believe in God? And Jung says, no. And the guy starts to chuckle a little bit. And Jung says, I don't believe in God. I know God. That's what I'm talking about. And so, what I want to suggest in our prayer today, that we seek and as best we can find that experience of handing ourselves over, surrendering our lives to God, and finding, even if it's the smallest hint, the experience of Christ resurrected here and among us. For that's who we are. May God bless our search.